this morning on WCHL. What are teaching assistants doing as the North Carolina General Assembly decides whether they have a job?
Their livelihood is hanging in the balance. They're kind of waiting to be rehired.
Opponents of North Carolina's new voting laws await a federal judge's decision.
Our argument, of course, was that that was a violation of the Federal Voting Rights Act and was a violation of the 14th Amendment.
And what's to happen to Hillsborough's historic Colonial Inn? Those stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, the future for Carolina women's lacrosse continues to look bright for Jenny Levy. Plus, the Hornets continue their off-season contract signing. And
LeBron and World Cup. World Cup and LeBron. I think we're glad both those sweepstakes are over.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
707 at WCHL. We have 75 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly sunshine this morning. Then becoming a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. High today in the middle 90s. A really hot one on the way. As state lawmakers wrangle over a budget agreement, nearly 100 teaching assistants in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system are in limbo, waiting to find out if they will still have jobs when school starts. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Arazi Adkins is the Human Resources Director for the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System. She says 79 local teaching assistant positions will remain unfilled until the state budget negotiations are complete.
Their livelihood is hanging in the balance. They're kind of waiting to be rehired. We're kind of holding on, and so this is extremely difficult for them. It's extremely difficult for us in terms of staffing. So yeah, it's been a very challenging summer.
Last year, new teaching assistants were hired on one-year contracts, which the district paid for using reserve funds. Now school officials say the district has run out of reserve funds to cover the shortfall, and they're waiting to see what, if anything, the state will do.
Because there's such a huge variance in the House version of the budget and the Senate version of the budget, it really is difficult to do anything other than wait.
Negotiations between the state House and Senate are stalled as legislators debate competing spending plans. The House version calls for a 5 or 6% raise for teachers, while the Senate wants to push that up to 11%, but pay for those raises by cutting teaching assistants. The Chapel Hill Carborough School Board is waiting until July 17th to adopt its local budget for next year. In anticipation of cuts to state funding, the board has identified two levels of potential budget cuts. The first tier would bring the budget in line with the House plan. It would require $850,000 worth of additional cuts, including loss of 4.5 gifted education specialist positions. Depending on the final budget, a second round of cuts could be necessary. That would mean eliminating the district service learning coordinator, cutting media assistants to part-time, losing 3.5 more gifted education positions, and shifting some custodial staff to lower paid contract work. But some worry a third round of cuts might be needed if something similar to the Senate budget is approved. If that happens, school officials acknowledge teaching assistant positions will be on the chopping block. Again, Arazi Adkins.
We have identified two different tiers worth of cuts that don't involve TA reductions at all, and so that's what we're really hoping for. Beyond that, we really haven't discussed the numbers of TA positions that would be cut if we had to go to that, because we already have identified two tiers.
State lawmakers on Friday canceled a planned negotiation session, prompting speculation that the General Assembly could walk away without a new spending plan. The state is currently operating on a two-year budget passed in 2013, so the lack of a deal wouldn't cause a government shutdown. But Adkins says the uncertainty also affects what the district can offer to entice new teaching hires. Most disheartening, says Adkins, is the recent discussion in the state Senate questioning the benefits of teaching assistants in the classroom.
I mean, it's July. If they wanted to bring up research about the value of teacher assistants, I really believe they should have spent more time last year visiting classrooms, talking to teachers, talking to their constituents about the value of teacher assistants. And I'd really argue that anybody who questions the value of a teacher assistant should be required to do substitute teaching in an elementary classroom.
The Chapel Hill Carborough School Board meets on Thursday to discuss the budget, but whether or not the board will have a budget to approve remains to be seen. In the meantime, local teaching assistants have no choice but to wait. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A Chapel Hill attorney representing plaintiffs in a lawsuit against state voting restrictions told WCHL he's confident that his side presented a strong case in federal court last week. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Supreme Court acted. The North Carolina legislature followed it with really discriminatory voting laws. And so we took up the challenge and went to court.
That's Chapel Hill attorney Adam Stein. He's been practicing law for about 45 years, specializing in civil rights cases. Stein, along with several other attorneys, social justice groups, and plaintiffs, were in federal court in Winston-Salem last week, suing the state of North Carolina over new voting requirements. Plaintiffs argue that the new rules are discriminatory, and the U.S. Justice Department is supporting the lawsuit. Stein is part of a group of attorneys representing the NAACP and individuals including the lead plaintiff, 93-year-old Rosanelle Eaton of Franklin County. Eaton, an African-American, testified what it was like for her to register to vote when she was 21 years old. It was dangerous for her and others back then, and people were afraid.
She was required to stand straight up, put her hands at her sides, and recite the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. And she did that, and she registered, and she's been working to get other African-Americans registered to vote and get them to vote for all these many years since then.
Stein said that almost everybody agrees that there is a history of voter suppression of African Americans in North Carolina. As a result, voting by African Americans lagged behind that of white people in North Carolina for many years, until laws were passed that allowed early voting, same-day registration, and out-of-precinct voting.
In 1988, we were near the bottom nationally in terms of participation of African Americans in voting, and by 2012, we were 11th.
According to Stein, African-American participation for the first time had equaled and even surpassed white participation. Last year, the Republican-led North Carolina General Assembly repealed all of those voting conveniences.
There was a highly disproportionate effect on African-American voters by removing all these measures. And our argument, of course, was that that was a violation of the Federal Voting Rights Act and was a violation of the 14th Amendment.
The state government also cut the early voting period from 17 days down to 10. And beginning in 2016, voters will be required to show state-issued IDs at the polls. Stein pointed out that all of the new voting laws were passed by the General Assembly immediately after the U.S. Supreme Court's 5-4 ruling in the case of Shelby County versus Holder. The ruling gutted two sections of the Voting Rights Act. Section 5, which states that certain state and local governments must obtain federal clearance before implementing changes to voting laws. And Section 4B, which states the formula that determines who is subject to that scrutiny. While that ruling is devastating to civil rights advocates, Stein said there is still enough left of the Voting Rights Act to use in a fight.
Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act doesn't require proof of intent. It is sufficient to prove that the effects of what they've done burden African Americans disproportionately.
He says he thinks his side proved both ill intent and disproportionate effects. U.S. District Judge Thomas D. Schroeder is expected to decide in a month or more whether to block the new voting rules before the November elections. A full trial is scheduled for next July. You can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The fate of an historic Hillsborough building will be discussed tonight at a meeting of the Town Board of Commissioners. Commissioners and citizens will get updates on the 175-year-old Colonial Inn, located at 153 West King Street. Francis Henry purchased the property at auction back in 2001. Since then, Henry and the town of Hillsborough have waged a back-and-forth legal battle over the building. The town wants to preserve its architecture as an historic feature. Here's Town of Hillsborough Planning Director, Stephanie Trueblood.
It's a very important building in Hillsborough. It's got a very long and significant history in this town, and the Historic District Commission has the authority under state statutes to deny a demolition request for that building because that building has been granted statewide significance by the State Historic Preservation Office.
But Henry has applied to the town to demolish the building. Neighbors began complaining about the rundown condition of the Colonial Inn a year after Henry bought it. Since then, the town has repeatedly taken action against Henry for noncompliance with repair orders. Trueblood walked through the site along with Henry, a fire marshal, and some Orange County building inspectors back in September of 2011, almost 3 years ago. Here's what she found there.
A few electrical issues, some structural issues, and some fire safety issues as well.
The town declared the building uninhabitable in 2012. Over the recent 4th of July holiday, the fire department was called to investigate a reported natural gas smell at the Colonial Inn. Officials are now considering measures to cut off utilities. Tonight's discussion at the Hillsborough Board of Commissioners meeting will be an information session led by town attorney Bob Hornick. The meeting will take place at 7 o'clock tonight at the town barn located at 101 East Orange Street, and you are invited. WCHL News Time is 7:16. Chapel Hill Disability Apartments. That story and more coming up in just a moment. Time now for traffic on WCHL, and this report brought to you by Crown Honda.
Throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
In case you didn't know, Crown Honda of South Point is the home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off 540 at the 751 exit. Now, WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather looks like this. 76 degrees right now. We're starting out rather warm, and it's going to be really hot this afternoon. Our high today about 95. Mostly sunshine all day. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day. Tonight, also a 30% chance of rain with the overnight low around 72. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. 70% chance of rain happening tomorrow and tomorrow night, in fact. High tomorrow, about 88 degrees. So not as hot tomorrow. Still relatively warm. Again, a very hot day today. High today in the middle 90s.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. More housing options for people with physical and mental disabilities are coming to town this week. WCHL's Wilson Borntrager has more.
The Arc of Orange apartments allow disabled tenants the opportunity to live on their own for the very first time. The apartments officially opened Friday after years of collaboration between many organizations such as the Arc of the Triangle and the Arc of North Carolina, Orange County Home Program, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and the Ireland Family Foundation. East-West Partners donated the land for the apartment. Assistant Director of Communications at the Arc of North Carolina, Ben Aykroyd, describes the goal of the Arc and how this new apartment building fits with what they seek to accomplish.
The mission of the Arc is to empower people with disabilities to live the life that they choose. And sometimes, because of a few obstacles, that can be difficult. But the Arc has really been trying to push independent living wherever possible for people with disabilities. This project was just ideally suited for that.
He says that the Arc and the rest of the contributors were happy to work together in order to make sure that these apartments were constructed with those with disabilities in mind.
They're built especially for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, so it's got all the accessibility options that folks with disabilities might need.
Aykroyd says the area in which they built these apartments was selected because of several key features offered by Meadowmont and the town of Chapel Hill.
What's really great about it is the location in the Meadowmont community. It's walkable to groceries, to food, transportation with the free bus system in Chapel Hill. It's just ideally set up to help folks with disabilities maybe need just a little bit of support to be able to live independently, to do so.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pro Tem Sally Green told WCHL, quote, "It's terrific to see this new development take shape. Group homes offer a combination of independent and supportive living that is very valuable. It takes a lot of collaboration to put a project like this together." A number of local officials and representatives are slated to attend the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Those individuals include Congressman David Price, Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt, representatives of Senators Kay Hagan and Richard Burr, and members of the local Chamber of Commerce. Residents will also be at the event and will offer voluntary tours of their own apartments. The ribbon-cutting ceremony takes place Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. For more information on the ceremony, visit our website at chapelboro.com. Wilson Borntrager, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
News around town this morning. This summer, the Orange County Public Library will host a three-part series on financial education in partnership with the Compass Center for Women and Families. The series is conducted through the AARP, and it's open to all ages, though. The series kicks off on Thursday with a workshop called Your Finances, Where You Are, Where You Want to Go, and How to Get There. The next session will be on Thursday, August 21st. The final session will be on Thursday, September 18th. But again, the first one is this Thursday. All classes will take place from 6 until 7:30 p.m. in the library's meeting room. It's free, but advance registration is required. To register, call the Orange County Public Library, and we have that contact information on our website, chapelboro.com. And the Supreme Court has recognized that money is speech, but in Carolina this summer, money is also art. From now through September 30th, Wilson Library's North Carolina Collection Gallery is displaying nearly three centuries of North Carolina currency in an exhibit called The Art of North Carolina Money. the stories behind the symbols. The exhibit includes more than 80 examples of money used in North Carolina from 1729 through 2009. You can get that story and all our other News Around Town stories on our website, chapelboro.com. Just click on the News Around Town link. Time for WCHL Championship Sports. Incoming UNC freshman lacrosse signees Ella Hazar, Marie McCool, and Bridget Curran all contributed big time in an 18-11 win by the North Carolina team. We're talking about the 2014 Under Armour Girls High School All-America lacrosse game played on July 12th at Johnny United Stadium in Maryland. The trio will enroll at UNC next month and will join the Tar Heels on the field in the spring of 2015. McCool and Curran started the game. McCool scored a goal, tallied two shots, drew two draw controls and a ground ball. Curran dished out an assist along with a ground ball and two draw controls. Azar came off the bench and registered a goal and an assist along with three draw controls and a ground ball. Under Armour All-Americas are selected by a panel of lacrosse experts from Inside Lacrosse magazine. The year-long selection process includes input from college and high school coaches from across the nation, as well as nominations from the public. And we give you this story because it just shows that Carolina women's lacrosse is in great shape for the future. Jenny Levy's program welcoming these very talented players to campus in just a little while. It's been a long week. Now Germany is basking in its fourth World Cup title. Did you see the match yesterday between Germany and Argentina? Boy, what a contest. One newspaper celebrated today with a three-word headline in the national colors of black, red, and gold that read simply, "It is true." While news website listed Germany's titles 1954, 1974, 1990, and 2014, exclamation point. Midfielder Mario Götze, who wasn't born when Germany won its last World Cup in 1990, sealed the deal with his extra-time goal yesterday. "Thank Götze, world champion," screamed the mass-circulation newspaper in Germany. Germany goalkeeper Manuel Neuer said after the match, "All of Germany is the world champion. The team is due in Berlin on Tuesday." A lot of celebrating in Germany, and again, quite a match yesterday. A little closer to home, a person familiar with the contract says free agent point guard Brian Roberts has agreed to a $5.5 million two-year deal with the Charlotte Hornets. The person spoke to the Associated Press on Sunday on condition of anonymity because the deal has not yet been made public. The person says the deal will be signed sometime next week. The 6'1", 173-pound Roberts will back up Kemba Walker. They might not know much about Roberts, but entering his third NBA season, Roberts has started 47 career games and averaged 8.2 points and 3 assists in 19.9 minutes per game. He started 42 times last season for the New Orleans Pelicans, averaging 9.4 points and 3.3 assists. Yahoo Sports, the first to report this agreement. Roberts is 28 years old. He went undrafted back in 2008 and spent his first 4 years as a pro playing in Europe. And again, they say he will be the new backup point guard, backup to Kemba Walker on the Charlotte Hornets roster. 7:24 at WCHL. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. And now more on the World Cup and LeBron James from Mr. Chansky.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
LeBron and World Cup. World Cup and LeBron. I think we're glad both those sweepstakes are over. This is our Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. It was a strange juxtaposition for sure. The final weekend of the World Cup and the final word from basketball superstar LeBron James. Both dominated the news and airways ad nauseum. It was enough to make you want to forget everything and go to the golf course. King LeBron did as I suspected, going back to Cleveland to make amends with the team and fans he jilted 4 years ago and make his family happy. James and his wife are both from Ohio, and that's where they wanted their sons to spend their schoolboy years, not in glitzy, dangerous, and the heat of Miami. Cleveland was the only place LeBron could go as a free agent without appearing to be chasing championships, with all the other franchises courting him and promising him star-studded supporting casts. While it did not instantly undo the tacky way he fled for Florida, going home does say a lot about his character. With the U.S. out of the World Cup, bars and restaurants across town and the country were filled with Argentines and Germans waving banners and exchanging chants through 113 minutes of scoreless soccer that gives the sport a bad name in our high-scoring society. 7 minutes away from the end of extra time and penalty kicks, Germany won its fourth cup with a goal worth waiting for. The winning score by super sub Mario Götze was a thing of beauty, stopping a pass with his chest and booting the ball home before it hit the ground. It effectively ended the World Cup as Argentina continued to fail on scoring opportunities right to the end. No wonder there were riots in that country after its national team had one goal nullified by offsides and missed golden chances on at least three other occasions. So can we now move on to other sports news that was completely overshadowed by the Cup and the King? For example, how many of you caught the game in the World Lacrosse Championship between the USA and Japan, a country that has a long way to go with the stick sport? The Americans, led by Carolina's Marcus Holman and Duke's Ned Crotty, won a farcical match against the Japanese. I changed the channel when it was 19-1 and could not find the final score anywhere on the internet Sunday night. No matter, I'm sure we hung on to win. This is Archansky. See ya.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee. But we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
Durham Tech is now registering students for an accelerated one-semester certificate program in office administration at the Orange County campus. Learn the skills needed in a professional office setting in just 15 credit hours or apply the courses to the two-year office administration degree. Contact Joan Brown, Program Director, at 919-536-7238, extension 4203, for more information. Space is limited, so act now. Durham Tech, where great things happen.
The word is spreading fast about Pita Grill, Chapel Hill's great new restaurant offering authentic, made-from-scratch Mediterranean cuisine. Locally and family-owned, Pita Grill's Egyptian influence creates a culinary experience you will crave again and again. Wraps and kebabs, heroes and pitas, salads and falafels, seasonal food, and more. Located in Timberline Shopping Center on Weaver Dairy Road, Pita Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner and is open 7 days a week. Visit them online at pitagrill.us or stop by for a taste you won't forget.
This is Chief Chris Blue with the Chapel Hill Police Department. Police officers and firefighters respond to nearly 5,000 alarm calls each year. About 95% of those calls turn out to be accidental alarms. Homes and businesses in Chapel Hill are now required to register for a permit by July 1st, and failure to do so could result in a $100 fine. Multiple accidental activations in a 365-day period may result in fines of up to $500. For more information or to register your alarm, visit townofchapelhill.org/alarms. And thank you, WCHL, for caring about public safety in our community.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Ron Stuntz has been your early morning host since 1977. That's a long time behind the mic. Ron has all your local news, sports, traffic and weather together, interviews with the newsmakers, commentaries, jokes, and a lot more. You'll hear from Rand Northam and the entire WCHL news team, plus Freddie Kiger's trivia, Wayne Pond's word of the day, the clean joke, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 7:30 at WCHL and the beginning of a nice day. It's going to be really hot, though. High today about 95 degrees. And mostly sunny this morning. A few clouds in the afternoon. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day, as usual. Again, high about 95 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of rain, and the low tonight in the low 70s. Tomorrow, not quite as hot, but a bigger chance of rain. 70% chance of rain tomorrow. Probably late today. Showers and thunderstorms likely. A cloudy day all day tomorrow.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL. And you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Israel finds more targets in Gaza as a second week of attacks from the air is underway. But no ground offensive yet. In Gaza City, CBS's Holly Williams.
We were expecting an escalation overnight here after the Israeli military dropped leaflets on northern Gaza warning people to evacuate for their own safety. The airstrikes did continue, but that escalation did not happen. And in Israel this morning, the country's military says it shot down a drone launched from Gaza. Apparently the first time Palestinian militants have used that technology.
More rockets have been launched by Hamas.
Palestinian militants continue to fire their rockets into southern Israel. A teenage boy was wounded yesterday, but so far no Israelis have been killed, thanks in large part to the country's anti-missile defense system.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
76 degrees, beginning of a really hot day, 732 at WCHL. As state lawmakers wrangle over a budget agreement in Raleigh, nearly 100 teaching assistants in the Chapel Hill Carborough school system are in limbo, waiting to find out if they will still have jobs when school starts. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Arazi Adkins is the Human Resources Director for the Chapel Hill Carborough City School System. She says 79 local teaching assistant positions will remain unfilled until the state budget negotiations are complete.
Their livelihood is hanging in the balance. They're kind of waiting to be rehired. We're kind of holding on, and so this is extremely difficult for them. It's extremely difficult for us in terms of staffing. So yeah, it's been a very challenging summer.
Last year, new teaching assistants were hired on one-year contracts, which the district paid for using reserve funds. Now school officials say the district has run out of reserve funds to cover the shortfall, and they're waiting to see what, if anything, the state will do.
Because there's such a huge variance in the House version of the budget and the Senate version of the budget, it really is difficult to do anything other than wait.
Negotiations between the State House and Senate are stalled as legislators debate competing spending plans. The House version calls for a 5 or 6% raise for teachers, while the Senate wants to push that up to 11%, but pay for those raises by cutting teaching assistants. The Chapel Hill Carborough School Board is waiting until July 17th to adopt its local budget for next year. In anticipation of cuts to state funding, the board has identified two levels of potential budget cuts. The first tier would bring the budget in line with the House plan. It would require $850,000 worth of additional cuts, including the loss of 4.5 gifted education specialist positions. Depending on the final budget, a second round of cuts could be necessary. That would mean eliminating the district service learning coordinator, cutting media assistants to part-time, losing 3.5 more gifted education positions, and shifting some custodial staff to lower-paid contract work. But some worry a third round of cuts might be needed if something similar to the Senate budget is approved. If that happens, school officials acknowledge teaching assistant positions will be on the chopping block. Again, Arazi Adkins.
We have identified two different tiers worth of cuts that don't involve TA reductions at all, and so that's what we're really hoping for. Beyond that, we really haven't discussed the numbers of TA positions that would be cut if we had to go to that, because we already have identified two tiers.
State lawmakers on Friday canceled a planned negotiation session, prompting speculation that the General Assembly could walk away without a new spending plan. The state is currently operating on a two-year budget passed in 2013, so the lack of a deal wouldn't cause a government shutdown. But Adkins says the uncertainty also affects what the district can offer to entice new teaching hires. Most disheartening, says Adkins, is the recent discussion in the state Senate questioning the benefits of teaching assistants in the classroom.
I mean, it's July. If they wanted to bring up research about the value of teacher assistants, I really believe they should have spent more time last year visiting classrooms, talking to teachers, talking to their constituents about the value of teacher assistants. And I'd really argue that anybody who questions the value of a teacher assistant should be required to do substitute teaching in an elementary classroom.
The Chapel Hill Carborough School Board meets on Thursday to discuss the budget, but whether or not the board will have a budget to approve remains to be seen. In the meantime, local teaching assistants have no choice but to wait. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A Chapel Hill attorney representing plaintiffs in a lawsuit against state voting restrictions told WCHL he's confident that his side presented a strong case in federal court last week. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Supreme Court acted. The North Carolina legislature followed it with really discriminatory voting laws, and so we took up the challenge and went to court.
That's Chapel Hill attorney Adam Stein. He's been practicing law for about 45 years, specializing in civil rights cases. Stein, along with several other attorneys, social justice groups, and plaintiffs, were in federal court in Winston-Salem last week, suing the state of North Carolina over new voting requirements. Plaintiffs argue that the new rules are discriminatory, and the U.S. Justice Department is supporting the lawsuit. Stein is part of a group of attorneys representing the NAACP and individuals including the lead plaintiff, 93-year-old Rosanelle Eaton of Franklin County. Eaton, an African-American, testified what it was like for her to register to vote when she was 21 years old. It was dangerous for her and others back then, and people were afraid.
She was required to stand straight up, put her hands at her sides, and recite the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. And she did that, and she registered, and she's been working to get other African-Americans registered to vote and get them to vote for all these many years since then.
Stein said that almost everybody agrees that there is a history of voter suppression of African Americans in North Carolina. As a result, voting by African Americans lagged behind that of white people in North Carolina for many years, until laws were passed that allowed early voting, same-day registration, and out-of-precinct voting.
In 1988, we were near the bottom nationally in terms of participation of African Americans in voting, and by 2012, we were 11th.
According to Stein, African-American participation for the first time had equaled and even surpassed white participation. Last year, the Republican-led North Carolina General Assembly repealed all of those voting conveniences.
There was a highly disproportionate effect on African-American voters by removing all these measures. And our argument, of course, was that that was a violation of the Federal Voting Rights Act and was a violation of the 14th Amendment.
The state government also cut the early voting period from 17 days down to 10. And beginning in 2016, voters will be required to show state-issued IDs at the polls. Stein pointed out that all of the new voting laws were passed by the General Assembly immediately after the U.S. Supreme Court's 5-4 ruling in the case of Shelby County versus Holder. The ruling gutted two sections of the Voting Rights Act. Section 5, which states that certain state and local governments must obtain federal clearance before implementing changes to voting laws. And Section 4B, which states the formula that determines who is subject to that scrutiny. While that ruling is devastating to civil rights advocates, Stein said there is still enough left of the Voting Rights Act to use in a fight.
Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act doesn't require proof of intent. It is sufficient to prove that the effects of what they've done burden African Americans disproportionately.
He says he thinks his side proved both ill intent and disproportionate effects. U.S. District Judge Thomas D. Schroeder is expected to decide in a month or more whether to block the new voting rules before the November elections. A full trial is scheduled for next July. You can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This year's North Carolina General Assembly session has coincided with a ramped-up U.S. Senate campaign of House Speaker Tom Tillis. His Senate bid also means fellow Republicans are thinking more about whether they will succeed Tillis as Speaker. There's a half dozen or so GOP lawmakers saying publicly they would be interested in the job. Each of them has key leadership positions. Some are helping raise funds for GOP candidates for the November elections. Several also have filled in for Tillis by presiding over floor debate, the speaker's most public responsibility. The next session meets in January to elect a speaker. Talk about a successor came earlier than usual because Tillis made clear the 2013-2014 session would be his last in the House. Republicans have to keep a majority to ensure that the GOP keeps that post. If you have an unexplained rash, check your iPad. It turns out the popular tablet computer may contain nickel, one of the most allergy-inducing metals. A report in today's Pediatrics says an Apple iPad caused an itchy body rash in an 11-year-old boy recently treated at a San Diego hospital. Rather strange story there. And Archie Andrews will die taking a bullet for his gay best friend. The famous freckle-faced comic book icon is meeting his demise in Wednesday's installment of Life with Archie when he intervenes in an assassination attempt on Kevin Keller, Archie Comics' first openly gay character. Andrews' death will mark the conclusion of the series that focuses on grown-up renditions of Andrews and his Riverdale pals. Keller's character first arrived in Riverdale in 2010. Keller is depicted in Life with Archie as a married military veteran and newly elected senator who's pushing for more gun control after his husband was involved in a shooting. Archie Comics co-CEO John Goldwater says he wants Andrews' death to be a lesson about gun violence and a declaration of diversity in the new age of Archie Comics. Kind of an interesting final episode,
yeah.
I would think. The guy who creates the Archie Comics wants to go out with a big statement here.
Makes you think about the word comic a little bit.
No kidding. He wants to make a declaration of diversity, and also he wants to make a big statement about gun violence as well. So
yeah.
Applaud him for doing that. And that's for those who, you know, get Archie comics, then that's kind of a grown-up version of what we used to read all the time. You know, pick that up and take a look, because that's kind of an historic thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's going to be quite interesting. I'm sure it'll spur on a lot of conversation.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
That's right.
You know, for sure. Well, what's happening with you today, buddy? I know you've been busy back there.
Yep, that's
like
true.
Like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And
I never heard that one before. I like
have
that.
You never,
I have
really?
Not, yeah.
I've hesitated to use it because it's been used so much.
I imagine it's been around a while, but wow. No, I've never heard that one.
Well,
that's a good one.
Well, that's a good description
maybe
of what
it's
you
coming
do
back
in the morning,
around.
I think.
Yeah.
What's happening at chapelbro.com today?
Well, Chicken Gaia is coming.
Chicken Gaia?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's what Jeff Danner says. It is a disease that was first identified in Tanzania in the early 1950s, and he says it's coming. And this is part one of a multi-part series that Jeff Danner is bringing to us. Of course, he comes to us every Monday, and you'll want to check that out. He'll be speaking with Aaron Keck this afternoon in the 4 o'clock hour as well.
Yeah.
Chicken Gaia.
Chicken Gaia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a contestant that was on American Idol several years ago.
That is true. It does sound similar to that.
They're probably saying very similar to him, too.
Yeah. Well, also, I know you had some fun at Hot Diggity Days last week, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a good time on Friday. A lot of things over there. I missed Keith Henderson yesterday. I wanted to see Keith.
Yep.
Illusions of the King on Sunday.
That's right.
He did like 3 different shows, I think, over there. They had a lot of fun at Hot Diggity Days. And
always do.
Is that photo gallery up yet?
That it is. The gallery up on our website at chapelbro.com, so you want to check that out. Susan Murray with some great photos there. And I think the biggest thing to talk about this morning, Ron, is to prepare everybody for tomorrow morning, because tomorrow is Election Day here in Orange County.
Exactly. Early voting, of course, concluded on Saturday. And
good numbers this weekend, nearly 300 both on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Always hope for high turnout. And polls will open bright and early at 6:30 in the morning, and
will
be open until 7:30 tomorrow night.
And we will invite you to stay tuned on WCHL. We'll have the coverage once the polls are closed tomorrow night. We will break into our regularly scheduled programming to bring you the results of that election. So stay tuned to WCHL for those numbers, and we'll be speaking with the winner tomorrow night. As soon as that winner is decided, we'll be speaking with him on the air, either Charles Blackwood or David Caldwell. So keep it tuned for the runoff election of the Orange County Sheriff here in 2014. It's here on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. And you can find lots of information, including the candidate profiles on our website, chapelbro.com, as well. All of that and much more available with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Fred Black has today's commentary. He talks about the town of Chapel Hill's 4th of July celebration, 744. Good morning.
Take the family to Dickie's for a family night, or pick up a family pack on your way home because you just don't want to cook. Order online at dickies.com and we will have it ready for you to take out. With 8 juicy hickory smoked meats, including pulled pork, chicken, ribs, brisket, and more. Add fresh home-style sides and hush puppies and you will have a special night that is tasty and affordable. Dickie's, where kids always eat free on Sunday and everyone gets free ice cream every day. See web for details. Order online today and pick up in Durham off Mount Moriah Road, Crossroads Cary, and downtown Raleigh in the Red Hat Tower.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
76 degrees at 746.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Fred Black. It is well known that our community is filled with opinionated people, and I'm one of them. But sometimes we need to take the time to express our opinion about something that we really liked. So in that spirit, let me say that it is my opinion that the town's 4th of July at Keenan Stadium was the very best ever. All of the people involved in the planning, execution, supervision, and funding of the evening deserve a big thanks for making it so special. Parks and Recreation Production Manager Wes Tillman and his staff, all of the UNC personnel who are involved, the fire department, the public safety officers, everyone who worked so hard to help us celebrate America's 238th birthday in such a fine fashion should be praised. And we can't forget the outstanding musical group Bull City Syndicate, the brave souls who entered the watermelon eating contests, the honor guard, the group that sang the national anthem, and all of the sponsors who helped with the financial support, and Grace Church with the glow sticks. And one man who also deserves our thanks is MC Ron Stutz, as he makes any program more special than it might have been otherwise. Yes, we all have opinions, and I hope that the thousands of people who came to Keenan for the 4th agree. We had one heck of a birthday celebration with the kind of old-fashioned fireworks that made us all sit up and take notice. Let's do it again next year. This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street. Presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Morgan Alderman. Summertime is the peak for construction, and the Chapel Hill area is seeing its fair share with road and building construction going on all over Orange County. While some view the construction as a hindrance, others view the new roads and buildings as a positive addition. We hit the streets to find out how you feel about construction in Orange County.
Hi, I'm Joel. I live in Carrboro. Generally, I think it's been sort of misconceived. Greenbridge, of course, is a terrible mess. A couple other large projects that have gone in have not done well. I wish them well, but more traffic, perhaps more crime, certainly more difficulties with municipal services. Don't like it especially.
My name is Sarah. I live in Carrboro. We live near an area where there's a lot of road construction going on, and we're hoping that eventually it comes with also a pedestrian area along with the road construction. So we're crossing our fingers for that.
Hi, my name is Ashita. I'm from Cary, and I don't really know much about the construction that's going on around campus, but I just hope it's not like interfering with people's like commutes and like getting to class and stuff like that.
What do you think of construction in Orange County?
Hi, I'm Brianna. I'm from Chapel Hill. I guess I appreciate the construction going on because in the long run it will be beneficial, but short term, a bus stop is closed right by Rams. That is very inconvenient for me.
Hey, I'm Becky. I'm from Chapel Hill, and construction has been going on for like the past several years. So at this point I'm kind of used to it. And I think that as long as the construction is doing something good for the town.
My name is Nisha Carrington, and I'm from Charlotte, and I feel like the construction has gotten in the way because one day I was trying to walk to class, and then I had to turn around because I didn't know where I was going, and it sucked.
My name is Diana, and I live just outside of Chapel Hill in Orange County. My feelings are about construction that in Chapel Hill particularly, there's more construction than there needs to be, and that the houses are too big and they should be smaller, and therefore we would be toxifying the land less. And in terms of road construction, the construction would not happen if people did car-free days.
That's What You're Saying on the Street. On 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
At Five Guys, they're in the business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings. Burgers not your thing? enjoy Five Guys' grilled kosher beef hot dogs topped off with all the same great toppings. And who can resist Five Guys' fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans-fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether Mom remembered to take her medications? Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that Dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing the support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
This is Dr. Beth Goldstein with Central Dermatology Center. One in five Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime. To prevent skin cancer, we urge you to protect yourself from the sun by seeking shade, covering up, and wearing sunscreen. When caught early, skin cancer is highly treatable, so early detection and regular screening is critical. If you're concerned by a non-healing spot or a changing mole, make an appointment at Central Dermatology Center, 919-401-1994, or visit us online at centralderm.net. We accept most major insurances, including Medicare and TRICARE.
Time again for traffic and weather together on WCHL. Our traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. A couple slowdowns on the roadways right now. Nothing major, though. 15501 northbound and southbound seeing some delays between Garrett Road and Estes Drive. That is through the I-40 interchange. Be on the lookout for some minor delays there. NC-54 heading westbound right now between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40 seeing some minor delays as well. Otherwise, things moving smoothly. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to move right along to your Chapel Hill cover of weather. And I hesitate to do that because it is really going to be hot today. I don't even want to talk about this. High today about 95 or 96 degrees. Are you kidding me? Mostly sunny this morning and then becoming partly sunny. A 20% chance of showers and or thunderstorms later today. Again, high middle 90s, 20% chance of rain, and then that will increase to a 30% chance of rain tonight. Maybe showers, maybe thunderstorms, overnight low about 72. Tomorrow, not as hot, high in the upper 80s, but we'll have a 70% chance of rain. You know what that means? Lots of moisture in the air, and it's going to be rather muggy. We'll also have a 70% chance of rain tomorrow night as well. And then on Wednesday, even a 50-50 chance of rain. 753 WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Wayne Pond. Good morning, sir.
Hey, big guy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, listen, apropos of what I heard earlier this morning, you and Freddie yammering on about Louis and Antoinette.
Yeah.
I thought I'd toss a little... a little French sauce into the mixture here this morning. Does that appeal to you?
Oh, great.
Oh, great. He's not so happy.
I don't speak French, so I'm always...
Yeah, you don't know a lot of French either. I heard you stumbling around. That was... And you didn't get a winner.
No, nobody knew the answer to the question.
All right, well, let's try this one on for size, Ron.
All right.
The word of the day is douceur. Douceur, I'm certain I'm not doing justice to the pronunciation there.
Probably not.
D-O-U-C-E-U-R. D is in delightful. Matter of fact, that's what this word means. D-O-U-C-E-U-R, douceur. This is the meaning, according to the wordsmith here, is a conciliatory gift. A conciliatory gift. It comes from a French word meaning that which is pleasant or sweet or enjoyable. Ultimately, we trace it back to Latin, a root meaning sweetness or sweet. But for our purposes, D-O-U-C-E-U-R, douceur, is all about a conciliatory gift. So how about a big, wet, happy, sloppy CHL kiss to you, Ron, down the telephone line? Consider that a douceur, okay?
I wouldn't consider that a douceur.
you'd hang the phone up is what you'd do.
And not coming from you, no.
Well, there was no mention of giver or receiver, so.
Yeah.
Well. All right, are you all happy with the word of the day there, my man?
I'm just ecstatic.
I'm sure you are. I will talk to you in the morning. Be a good boy.
Okay, buddy. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you will have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, and you have to pronounce it correctly, too. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It is 7:56.
Time now for the clean joke day. Here she is. She's walking into the studio right now. Yeah. I was beginning to wonder about you. You just barely got here.
You make me feel like I need to bring something extra, like cherubs should be singing right now or something like that.
Who should be singing?
Cherubs, baby angels.
Oh, well, hey, we can arrange that.
I feel like I need to bring something else now besides just a joke.
We can get you an orchestra or something, you know. But, I mean, I was just worried that you were going to get here on time, you know. Because we got really busy. We got a limited amount of time here. So here you are.
Here I am.
You made it.
With a joke.
Just under the deadline, I should say. Yeah, what you got?
So this one is about a taxi driver.
A taxi driver.
So a passenger in a taxi leaned over to ask the driver a question and tapped him on the shoulder. The driver screamed, lost control of the cab, nearly hit a bus, drove over the curb, and stopped just inches from a large plate glass window.
Wow.
For a few moments, everything in the cab was silent. And then the still shaking driver said, "I'm sorry, but she scared the daylights out of me." The frightened passenger apologized to the driver. He said he didn't realize a mere tap on the shoulder could frighten him so much. The driver replied, No, I'm sorry, it's entirely my fault. Today's my first day driving a cab. I've been driving a hearse for the last 25 years.
I would imagine that might give you a little bit of shock.
Okay, exactly. Now we can see all of that chaos came from.
All right. Well, hey, that one was from Wiley Post, was it not?
Okay. I think so.
Congratulations. Thank you, Wiley. You have to weed out about 10 of Wiley's bad ones before you get to a good one. So thanks for going through those.
Oh, yes.
BMW in Chapel Hill is celebrating your freedom to save with the July fireworks event. Listen to what Jackie had to say about her Performance BMW experience.
I recently took my car in for routine service. Patricia took care of me. We discussed which services I wanted, and I sat in the lounge to wait on my car. My car is out of warranty, and I could go anywhere, but I choose to go to Performance.
During our July fireworks event, you can purchase a certified pre-owned Elite 2014 BMW X1 for $399 per month. Wow.
Stock number LB3940. Price plus tax, tag, and $549 admin fee. Based on MSRP of $37,395 and selling price of $29,519. With $5,000 due at signing over 72 months at 2.9% APR. Dealer retains manufacturer incentives. Financing with approved credit through BMW FS. See dealer for details. Picture for illustrative purposes only. Take delivery by 31 July 2014.
Certified pre-owned BMWs come with a protection plan of up to 6 years or 100,000 miles. BMW is the ultimate driving machine. 2014 Center of Excellence and Volume Leader. Wow. Visit PerformanceBMWChapelHill.com where sales and service specials abound, or visit us in person in Chapel Hill just a quarter mile off I-40.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Tar Heel Photo Booth. It's over half off photo booth rental and props for events and parties. You choose from two options. Rental for 2 hours is just $249, normally a $549 value. Photo booths have become a must-have for every event, from weddings to reunions to corporate events. Tar Heel Photo Booth uses only the latest professional equipment, and the photo booths are portable enough to go just about anywhere. Capture some epic moments at your next gathering. It's over half off from Tar Heel Photo Booth, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Later on in the day, can't you feel the heat coming off the street? It's going to be one of those. High today about 95 or 96 degrees. Mostly sunny this morning. We'll have a few clouds in the afternoon. Slight chance of a shower or thunder shower in the afternoon. Not as much as usual, only about 20% chance. Tonight we're looking at a 30% chance of rain with a low in the low 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. 70% chance of it for the high in the upper 80s. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Air action in Israel and Gaza
as Israel prepares for a possible ground assault.
Ex-captive returns to active duty.
The fact that he's resuming his career as a soldier is a good sign.
Germany celebrates the World Cup.
That's so good. Yeah, we waited such a long time for this.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A salvage effort in a Gaza neighborhood symbolic of a week of violence that's had Israel and Hamas trading military salvos and accusations. CBS's Holly Williams is in Gaza, where more than 170 have died in the past week.
The Israeli military says it hit a weapons storage facility overnight and targeted 12 Palestinian militants over the last 24 hours. But in Al-Sharif Hospital this morning, we found not militants, but two brothers, Hamada, aged 4, and Hamdan, aged 2. They were injured when an airstrike hit their neighbor's house. Thousands of Palestinians have fled northern Gaza, taking refuge in school buildings. There's safety here, but as the Gaza Strip braces for a possible ground invasion, nobody knows when they'll be able to go home.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Israel says the military capabilities of Hamas must be destroyed and a ground offensive remains an option. Government spokesman Paul Hirschman.